Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week we bring you exciting new guests to talk about various aspects of UFOs and the paranormal. And like I always say, there is just a ton of stuff to talk about. So let's just get right to it. You know, tonight I'm actually going to do something a little bit different. I do have a number of really interesting people lined up for next week and beyond that. But tonight I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to actually give an out-of-body workshop, an astral projection workshop. So if you want to learn how to do out-of-body exploring, how to astral project, then this is the show for you, because I am going to teach you exactly how to do it, what to expect, the benefits, the dangers, and some really cool experiments you can try once you actually succeed doing this. And I'm sure you can do it. It's actually a lot easier than most people realize, and it's extremely rewarding, and I've just got some really amazing stories to tell you as well about some of the experiences I've had while from doing this myself. So grab a pen or pencil, and if you can record it, even better, because this is something you can refer to over and over again. And I'm going to give you a basic step-by-step lesson on how you can achieve this really mystical state of astral projection, the out-of-body state. Now, before I actually get into the workshop itself, let me tell you just a little bit about me and why I'm giving this workshop. I was actually very skeptical of people who claimed they could go out of body. I didn't believe it for a second. I thought anyone who claimed that they could go out of their body was basically out of their mind and crazy or lying or looking for attention or what have you. And I'm willing to admit now that I was wrong. I'm absolutely convinced out-of-body experiences are valid. It's a real phenomenon. It's actually been proven in a laboratory setting on several occasions. So this is not just a speculation or a New Age thought. This out-of-body exploring stuff goes back thousands of years. And in fact, some of the information I'm going to be giving you tonight used to be only taught in secret schools, in those hidden occult schools where people learned mystical knowledge. But all this stuff is now available today and is available for anyone who is willing to try these exercises and to attempt to go out of body. And I really hope you try, because I can promise you it will totally change your life. It totally changed mine. And so that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And I really would like to encourage everyone who's listening tonight to call in if you have any questions. This is a call-in show, and I'm here to answer any question you might have about the out-of-body experience. And I'll give out the toll-free number, so grab your pen. Here it is. It's 888-228-4494. I'll repeat that again, 888-228-4494. I'll repeat that again throughout the show in case you didn't catch that. But yeah, call in. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear about your own out-of-body experiences or any questions you may have or comments you might have on tonight's show, which is, again, an out-of-body workshop. And you're going to love it. You absolutely have to try to do this. So, what is an out-of-body experience? Let's start with the definition of what astral projection actually is. Now, first of all, these are not dreams, they're not hallucinations, and it's not remote viewing. Lucid dreaming is, I would say, related to out-of-body exploring. Lucid dreaming is when you become awake in the dream state while you are dreaming. So lucid dreaming is basically like being awake, except you're in a dream state. And most researchers, I think, would agree that lucid dreaming is sort of an inferior form of the out-of-body experience. In effect, you are actually out-of-body, but you are still dreaming. You're still hallucinating, basically. Your thoughts are projecting around you. So while you are out-of-body, you're not able to perceive the independent environment. And I think that is what the main difference is between lucid dreaming and out-of-body exploring. Now, the simple definition of an out-of-body experience is when consciousness is perceived as being separate from the body. And in this state, you find that you have a second body, a dream body it's often called, an astral body. And this second body has a lot of different abilities that are not really present in the physical body. And I'll get more into that later. But the important thing is that the out-of-body experience is something anybody can do, and it is when you perceive yourself as being separate from the physical body. And so let's just get into some of the so-called dangers. Now, I've done an enormous amount of research on this. Besides having had over 1,000 conscious out-of-body experiences myself, I have read everything I can get my hands on this subject, and all the books, all the magazines, and I've interviewed actually many people who have done this as well. So as far as dangers are, I think that there's a lot of misconceptions about this. The truth is, there is not really a whole lot of danger at all to doing this, because everyone has out-of-body experiences every night. They just don't remember. This is what some dreams are, in particular, flying dreams. These are half-remembered out-of-body experiences. So you can pretty much chalk off any dangers. But let's just go through them just so we can get, you know, relaxed about this. Now, one danger people often bring up to me is they're afraid of getting locked out of their body. They're afraid they're going to have an amazing astral projection and then not be able to get back into their body. You absolutely don't have to worry about this, because the real difficulty is getting out and staying out. You are very, very, very easily pulled back into your body when you're in the out-of-body state. So this is not going to be a problem. And the reason for that is because there is something called the silver cord. And this is going to come up again and again. The silver cord is non-physical, but it's something that attaches your astral body to your physical body. So whenever you have any perceived danger, whenever you become at all upset, emotional, or even fall asleep or fall unconscious in the out-of-body state, this silver cord will instantly pull you back into your body. It doesn't matter how far away you are. It doesn't matter what dimension you're in. This silver cord will pull you back, and it cannot be severed. It's non-physical. The only way it can be severed is upon physical death. And there are no cases that I could find after surveying the literature of anyone who has died as a result of having an out-of-body experience. Now, we're all going to have a final and permanent out-of-body experience one day. And that, I think, is one really good reason to try and learn this, one of many, which, again, I'll get into a little bit later. So don't worry about getting locked out. It's not going to happen. You'll have much more trouble staying out. And so here's another danger that people always bring up. They're afraid of getting possessed by some demon, by someone else who comes into their body. This is another thing that you don't have to worry about. I've surveyed the literature. I could find no evidence of this ever happening. And I think possession is more common among people who fool around with the Ouija board and invite bad spirits or unpleasant spirits, malevolent spirits, into their home, into their space. As far as getting possessed, again, your silver cord protects you and will pull you back into your body if there's any danger at all. And besides that, you have spirit guides, and this is something that everybody has. And if you start doing this astral projection work, you will actually get closer, a lot closer, to your spirit guides. They will come. They will help you through this. They will protect you while you're out of body. It's not at all uncommon for a spirit guide to remain with the physical body while you're out there projecting, or for a spirit guide to basically guide you through the physical plane while you're out of body, or through other dimensions. So don't worry about getting possessed. It's not going to happen. Okay, now a third perceived danger is getting too far away from your body, becoming lost. Again, the silver cord will pull you right back. There are a number of different techniques you can use, in fact, to get back to your body instantly. If you feel like you're getting too far out there, if you get scared, or if you should come upon some unpleasant or malevolent spirits, which can happen. That's probably the biggest danger of all, is meeting someone you don't really want to be around. So if you find yourself getting lost, if you're too far away from your body, and you want to get back, all you have to do is wiggle your toes. That's one very easy technique that will work, is just wiggling your toes. Another is to blink your eyes open and closed repeatedly, and this will work as well. So those are two really simple methods. The truth is, all you have to do is think about your body, and it will bring you right to your body. So don't worry about going too far away or getting lost. Now, another perceived danger is repercussion. And by repercussion, I mean coming back into your body too hard and too fast. So fast that you feel like I'm sort of like falling down off a cliff, and bam, you hit your body really hard. That's what repercussion is. And you don't have to worry about that, because there's no danger to it. I could find no instances, no examples in the literature where anyone was hurt by coming back into their body too fast. There was one occasion for me where I had kind of an unpleasant repercussion experience. I was out of body, traveling through some other dimension, when something fell in my bedroom by itself. I don't know how that happened, but something fell off my wall and made a huge crash, and I came sailing back into my body in a split second and bam, hit it very hard. But that was it. It was just a little bit uncomfortable is all. Okay, now here's another so-called danger of coming back into your body and not being able to fit back into your body. I've had a few instances where I have come back and felt like I wasn't fully in my body, or I felt a little bit, dizzy or slightly off-center. But you can easily ground yourself by eating, taking a drink of water, or taking a shower or a bath, or exercising, and that will pull you right back into your physical body. So that's a very, very easy fix for that. Okay, another possible danger, and this is, I think, the worst danger that you're going to run across, which would be attack by hostile astral entities. So while you're out of body, there are a lot of spirits out there. There's a lot of different dimensions. It's a much, much, much vaster place than our own planet. So there are unpleasant places you can end up at, and there are unpleasant entities who might try to attack you. Again, all you have to do is pop back into your body, and you'll be fine. And as long as you remember that you can't be hurt while you're out of body, you'll have no problem. I would say the scariest experience I ever had in terms of hostile entities was I was flying around out of body, and I was just cruising along having a good time when I felt something grab my leg, my foot, down by my ankle. And it was weird because it was this webby little hand, like some sort of suction cups or something. And I could feel the little fingers on me. So I just basically kept calm, reached down and peeled the little fingers off, and kept going. So that was probably the weirdest thing. I've had, you know, sometimes hostile entities have come charging at me, but you can always just fly away and go back to your body. So again, don't worry about it. Let me see, what else? That's basically all the, I can't think of any other real dangers. There is, I think, some danger of becoming obsessed with the subject, because it is so transformative. It will so change your life that you can start talking about it constantly and alienate your friends and your family. You can start to yearn for the astral plane, which is so much nicer than here, and become depressed when you have to live in the real world. That is another danger that you might want to look out for, but don't worry about that, because it's so rewarding. It's so amazing that it's well worth that danger of becoming, you know, a little overwhelmed by it. So let's get into the benefits, because the benefits far, far outweigh the dangers. And I've got a list of benefits here, which are amazing. One of the biggest benefits, I think, is an increased awareness. You become a lot more aware of not only the physical world, but of energies and all sorts of things that you would never have even imagined. You become not afraid of death. This is a huge, huge benefit. Whether you realize it or not, the fear of death is pervasive. It's so pervasive, it affects our behavior on a daily level. It's so scary, I think, that it's often a taboo subject. Many people will not discuss it. They don't want to talk about death, and they don't want to hear anyone talk about death. But the truth is, we are all going to die, and having out-of-body experiences will not only give you the knowledge of what it is like to die, but will totally remove any fear of the death process and death itself. Because once you pop out of body, you know, there, hands down know for sure that there is life after death. And it just, it lightens up your spirit to an incredible degree. It's well worth it. Another is knowledge of yourself. You can learn all about your past lives. You can visit your higher self. You can do all sorts of incredible things that you would never even realize is possible and is not really possible to a large part on the physical plane. So you get to increase knowledge of yourself. Now, the astral body is also called the emotional body, also the desire body. So you'll find that when you pop out of body, you are suddenly confronted with everything, every emotion you've ever suppressed. So if you're a greedy person, if you're a lustful person, if you have problems with any of these so-called, the seven deadly sins, these can manifest pretty strongly, and you'll have to work through your issues while you're in the out-of-body state. Which is incredible fun, actually, and very, very transformational. So, yeah, you get to learn all about yourself and who you really are, your life mission. And many, many people who have done this have learned not only about themselves, but about other people who they are close to. So you can learn about your friends and family, their past lives, and what their purpose is in your life. So it's just an incredible opportunity to learn. Here's my favorite benefit, is increased psychic abilities. Now, on the astral plane, we all have the ability to fly. We can communicate telepathically. We can do all sorts of amazing things, manifest things by just thinking about it. You can manifest food. You can manifest trees, people, anything really that you can think about, you can manifest in full color right in front of you. So these abilities actually start to translate back into the physical world once you start doing this. So that's what happened to me, and this is in a lot of the other books, but written by other people who have done this, is you become extremely psychic. You start having precognitive dreams. You'll start having waking visions. You'll have telepathic experiences, clairvoyance, and it's just thrilling. It is so amazing and a lot of fun because your awareness just grows explosively. And here's one example that happened to me. This is actually a waking vision I had. I was driving to the bank when I suddenly had a vision, and this image came into my mind's eye. It was very, very strong, very clear, and this is how it happens. It just suddenly pours into you. Suddenly you have this feeling of knowingness. And in my vision, I kept seeing in my mind's eye this very tall man, and he had very long hair. He was very strong, very muscular. He was covered with tattoos. He had on a leather jacket, blue jeans, boots, and he was extremely threatening looking. This was not a nice guy. This was like a gangster person. And I thought, why am I seeing this? That's odd. I was on my way to the bank, actually, to withdraw some money from the ATM. And I came around the corner, pulled up to the bank, and got a real shock. There was this guy standing right in front of the ATM. He looked exactly like I had seen him in my vision. And so having been forewarned, I think, by this vision, I, of course, waited until he left to withdraw my money. But these are the sort of things that will happen to you. I've been able to predict births in the family, gifts that people give me, all sorts of things. So it's extremely rewarding, and if you want to have psychic experiences, one of the best ways to develop your psychic powers is through astral projection. Astral projection will also give you an increase in energy. If you find that you're often tired or you just don't have the energy to get around, astral projection will fill you with energy. In fact, when you come back from an out-of-body experience, your body is literally zinging with the energy. It's just got so much energy that you feel like you can fly. And the amazing thing is there are a number of accounts of people who have actually levitated following their out-of-body experience. I did write a book on human levitation, so I know what I'm talking about. I have not been able to levitate myself. I have talked to people who have done it. And there is definitely a very strong connection to astral projection. So that's another really amazing thing that you can learn to do simply by going out of body. It improves your emotional state. You become a much happier person. I think it's a significant step on the pathway to spiritual enlightenment. I think it's inevitable, I think, that everyone will eventually start having more regular conscious out-of-body experiences. So if you can get a leg up, a head start, that would be a great thing. It also gives you an increased lifespan. And by that, I mean people spend about one-third of their life asleep. And you know, that can add up to 30 years. That's a long time. So if you can learn to become conscious in the sleep state and go out of body, what you basically do is increase your lifespan by one-third. You get 30 extra years. That's huge. And that's no lie either. You actually can stay aware all through the night and not fall asleep at all, if you're really good at it. I've only been able to do that a few times. I think that's more of an advanced state. But you can absolutely do that if you're really, really gung-ho about this and really disciplined. You will increase your lifespan significantly, not only by going out of body, but physically. You are probably more likely to live longer physically, because what happens is having out-of-body experiences opens the channels of energy that flow through your body. And a number of diseases, a lot of the very major diseases, are actually caused by blockages of energy within your physical body. So what happens is when you go out of body, all of this opens up and the energies from the astral plane are able to flow freely through your body and cleansing you of any illness. And I actually wrote an article about this. There are 20 plus cases on record in which people have been able to heal themselves of physical illness as a result of an out-of-body experience. This is also very common in the near-death experience, which is basically an uncontrolled out-of-body experience. But there are even more cases of people who have had a near-death experience and come back from it completely healed. I just interviewed a gentleman who had suffered epilepsy his entire life. He had an extremely strong episode on one day and lost consciousness and was pushed out of his body. Everyone who was with him thought he had died, and in fact he had a near-death experience. He went to the other side and spoke with his loved ones and had a whole adventure and came back, and that was his last episode. He never had another epileptic fit after that. He is absolutely convinced that the out-of-body experience healed him. And so people have been healed of all kinds of things, of the common cold, of cuts and bruises, yes, of fevers, of very serious illnesses like cancer or liver disease, sarcoidosis, hemorrhoids is one. So really, this is something that is just so important, I think. And if you really want to heal yourself of a physical illness, the out-of-body experience is one of the best ways to do it. Okay, now, what are the qualifications? Do you need to have any special abilities to be able to go out-of-body? Again, no! Anybody can do it. It's your God-given right as a human being to be able to go out-of-body. And like I said earlier, we actually do this every night. Everybody does. We just don't remember. So there are no real qualifications. You don't have to be super healthy. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to eat special foods. None of that really makes a whole lot of difference. I will say that taking drugs and alcohol does have a strong dampening effect on your ability to do this. It doesn't prevent it, but it can really make it very, very difficult. But really, there are no qualifications. The main qualification I'm going to say is desire. If you want to do it, if you have the inspiration, the desire to do it, that is the main qualification, because you have to try. If you're not going to try, it will maybe happen to you spontaneously. In fact, most people will have at least one or two spontaneous out-of-body type experiences in their life. But if you want to do it regularly and get really advanced at it, you have to have the desire. Another is the time. It does take some time to do these exercises, and the more time you devote, the more disciplined you are, the more successful you will be. So time is kind of a qualification. Having an open mind, I think that helps a whole lot. You don't even really have to believe that it's possible to do this, but you have to have a mind opened enough to try the exercises. If you're just so skeptical, you say, well, no, it can't happen. Well, it's not going to happen for you because you're not open-minded enough. What else? Effort. The more effort, the more discipline you put forth, I think the more successful you will be. So there is some effort involved in this in the beginning. As you progress and as you become advanced at it, it becomes more and more effortless, just like anything, just like learning a musical instrument, just like learning to ice skate or ride a bike. It's the same exact thing. It's a matter of applied knowledge. Right now, you have the ability to do brain surgery physically, You have the ability to walk a tightrope. Physically, you probably could. Ice skate, play an instrument. All of this, you have the physical ability, but you might not have the knowledge. So going out of body is the same thing. It's basically applied knowledge. And if you were to say, put the effort forth, the discipline, and do the exercises, say, like, it takes 7 years to become a doctor. If you were to spend 7 years doing out-of-body school, you would become extremely advanced very quickly. So it's all about how much effort you put forth. I think it also helps a lot if you are able to maintain an analytical and objective attitude. Interestingly, a lot of the people who are very successful at this are kind of left-brained. They are businessmen, they're accountants, they're computer programmers, and a lot of the people who have actually written books about this are men. Less women than men seem to be doing this. I don't know if that's just a coincidence of because more men have written books, or if men are better at this than women. But I definitely think that having an analytical attitude, an objective viewpoint, can help you. What else? Morality. If you're evil, if you're out here trying to do an out-of-body experience so you can invade someone's privacy, so you can try and learn things that you should not know, or try to do evil acts, I think you're going to have a lot of difficulty. Because there is quite a bit of evidence out there that seems to indicate that if you are of a very good moral disposition, you will get a lot more help from spirit guides in doing this. So being a good person does seem to be a factor. But again, it doesn't matter what your physical health is. There's many accounts of people who have done this who are sick, others who have been very healthy. So the state of your physical body does not seem to have a whole lot of effect. Those are the qualifications. Basically, anyone can do it. You have the right stuff. All you have to do is try. That's the main thing. For me, it took me maybe 3 weeks of doing some of the exercises before I was able to have some really successful out-of-body experiences. So, really, I think everyone has the right stuff. Okay, everyone, I'm going to give a little station break here. You're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and tonight we're having an out-of-body workshop, a workshop on how to astrally project. I'm going to teach you everything on how to do it, the dangers, the qualifications, the benefits, and now let's get into the obstacles. Why isn't everyone having out-of-body experiences? If we're already doing it, why doesn't everyone remember? Well, there are a number of reasons. I think the main reason is that when we are out-of-body, we assume that we are awake when we are not. This is true for the dream state, too. It is so realistic when you are out-of-body. Everything you see, or when you are dreaming, your dreams mimic physical life to such a degree that pretty much everyone assumes that they are awake and in the physical world. And this is a huge obstacle. So one of the things you're going to want to do is constantly ask yourself, am I awake? Right now, ask yourself, am I awake? Am I truly awake? Or could I be dreaming? Could I be out of body? I know it kind of sounds ridiculous, but this is a huge key. This is a really big secret that to getting out of body. This will make you successful. If you can constantly ask yourself, am I dreaming right now? This is one of the best ways to learn how to go out of body. Okay, I'm going to give out the toll-free number again because I want you all to call in if you have any questions or I'd love to hear your own experiences. So give us a call. Here's the toll-free number right now. It's 888-228-4494. I'll repeat that one more time. 888-228-4494. Now, what are some of the other obstacles? Laziness, huge obstacle. People just get tired. You know, they come home from work, they don't want to do anything. So laziness is a huge obstacle. Overcome it. It's worth it. Skepticism. People don't believe it's possible. They don't think they can do it. It's a huge obstacle. That will stop you. If you don't think you can do it, that will stop you instantly. You have to be confident, because the truth is you can do it. Divided attention. It's really key to being able to focus your thoughts. This is something that will make you very successful at this. If you have the ability to keep your attention focused, you'll find a lot easier to go out of body. Okay, what else? Let me see. The inability to relax. Now, most people think that they're relaxed when they sleep, but a lot of people are not relaxed at all. They grind their teeth, they toss and turn, they clench their fists. So you have to learn how to relax, and this is actually one of the main exercises. It's the very first step to going out of body, is relaxing your physical body. So you have to start doing relaxation exercises and learning ways to relax. You have to learn how to let all your troubles go and just relax. I don't know how else to put it better than that. The inability to relax is a huge obstacle. What else? Fear. This is a big, big obstacle. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to who were actually successful at going out of body their first time, but then became so frightened when they actually succeeded, they never did it again. And when I first popped out of my body, I thought, you know, I became extremely frightened, because I popped out of my body, I looked down at my bed, and there I was lying there, and I thought I died. I thought I had a heart attack and died. It was very disconcerting, to say the least. I was pretty upset and very terrified, and I dived back into my body instantly and woke up, and then I was thrilled. Then I was like, wow, I did it. Yay! You know, I was absolutely really excited. But the first few times, it can be really scary, because it's very disorienting and it's an extremely strange experience for the first few times. But that's a big barrier for a lot of people, is just fear. But I hope I've alleviated your fears by showing you that there are no dangers to this. Okay, what else? Addictions. As I mentioned, addictions to drugs, alcohol, or for that matter, anything, television, sex, anything that consumes your attention can be a major obstacle, such as the deadly sins that I mentioned, you know, greed, sloth, lust, anger. All of these are huge obstacles. They take away your attention. They steal your awareness. So if you can overcome these deadly sins, and that's what I'll call them, it will be a huge benefit to you. What else? Procrastination. People have a tendency to procrastinate. They say, I can do it later. You know, there's always tomorrow. Well, that's true, but there's no time like the present. Life moves very quickly. Before you know it, you'll be right there on your deathbed. So the sooner you start doing this, the better off you'll be. Attachments. That's another thing. You know, if you're attached to your family, if you have to watch your television show, if you need to listen to your music, if you have to take your daily swim or whatever it is, these are attachments. If you can become detached to a certain extent, I think you'll find it a lot easier to let go and go out of body. No free time, that's another thing that people complain about. Just not having the time to do it. It's a huge obstacle. So set some time aside, if that's what it takes, because this is worth it. Okay. Now I want to talk a little bit about dreams, because dreaming is very, very connected to this, and it's one of the pathways to succeeding. I think a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to just lie down, I'll relax, I'll do the relaxation exercises, the visualization exercises, I'll say the affirmations. These are the things you can do to learn how to go out of body, and I'll pop right out. Well, the truth is, you'll be a lot more successful if you work not only trying to go out of body in the waking state and while you're falling asleep, but while you're in the dream state itself. So dreams are, as I said, half-remembered out-of-body experiences. A lot of them truly are. There are, I'm going to say, five basic levels to dreaming. The first one is venting. By this I mean these are the images that come into your dreams after, say, you watched a scary movie and you have a nightmare about it. That's a venting dream. These are images that come into your dreams from the day before. So this is the lowest level of dreaming, and you can actually prevent all of this from happening by just doing a little meditation before you go to bed and letting all these images and thoughts just escape and leave you. So the second level of dreaming is psychological. I'm going to say that 80% of people's dreams reflect their fears and their desires. So using the dream state is a very good way to learn about yourself, to overcome your fears and desires, and become aware enough to start having out-of-body experiences, or, for that matter, lucid dreams. Now, this is the next step of dreaming. It comes right after you've overcome all your fears and desires, and you become lucid. And again, being lucid is being awake in the dream state. And that's very, very much like having an out-of-body experience. And to become lucid, it's simply a matter of recognizing anomalies in the dream state. Pretty much every dream, almost without exception, has within it what is called a cue, a dream cue, a lucidity cue. This is an anomaly of some sort that is meant to alert you that you are dreaming. I think this is sent by our higher self, or I'm not exactly sure what the mechanism is, but you'll find many, pretty much without exception, each dream does have some element in it that will prove that you are actually dreaming. This could be like the driveway is facing the wrong way, or someone's hair is the wrong color, or maybe even something really bizarre like someone has three eyes or an extra arm or just something really bizarre. You see an animal flying. These are lucidity cues that are meant to wake you up, make you become lucid. So the next level after lucidity is precognitive dreaming. And this is when you start having valid information for the first time coming into your dream state. You start dreaming about the future. And that this will happen pretty regularly once you start working with the dreams. And that leads right directly into the out-of-body state. So this is sort of what the Australian dream time is, and the Aborigines. They're able to enter this at will. And you can too. So dreams are very, very important to this. You'll want to start keeping a dream journal. You'll want to do everything you can to start remembering your dreams, because it's very, very connected to this. Now, you have an astral body, right? But the truth is, and this is really bizarre, but this is what the evidence shows, is that we have multiple bodies. Not just a physical body, not just an astral body, but we have a causal body, a Buddhic body. We have different bodies, apparently, for each dimension. According to Eastern occult literature, we have seven bodies. And these correspond to each of the planes, the physical plane, the ethereal plane, the astral plane, the causal plane, and so on. And each of these bodies, as you go progressively higher, gets more and more abilities. The astral body has the ability to fly, has the ability to move through solid objects, it has the ability to teleport instantly. By that, I mean you can be here on Earth and just think about another location like the moon and pop up there. I know that sounds bizarre, but Robert Monroe was able to go to the moon. He taught other people how to do it, and I was able to do that on one occasion myself. So I know it can be done. You can travel anywhere within the universe with the astral body. natural body has amazing properties. It has an elasticity to it. By this, I mean you can be sitting down in the out-of-body state, reach out your arm and all the way across the room and for much farther than that, for hundreds and hundreds of feet, or however far you want to go, basically. So it's very elastic. It has a silver cord, which we've already talked about. The astral body has the ability to see, to hear, to touch, to taste, to smell. It has all the senses, except that they are more powerful. They're your inner senses. The senses we have here on Earth are a pale reflection to your ability to perceive with the astral body. You also, in the astral body, have the ability to move objects with your mind. And this is called a telekinesis. And if you get really, really good at it in the astral state, again, these abilities will begin to translate into the physical world. And certainly a lot of enlightened masters have all of these abilities. So telekinesis is another ability you have in the astral body. All those psychic powers are totally available to you on the astral plane, the whole list of them. Another really, really interesting aspect about the astral body is the timelessness. Time kind of flows sequentially here on Earth, but in the astral plane, time flows much more quickly. And the higher you go, the higher dimension-wise you go, time kind of collapses. So on the astral plane, in the lower astral plane, you have the ability to visit the future and the past like a landscape. So this is why a lot of people come back with visions of the future, because they were there. They actually saw the future, and you can visit it, and you can visit the past. And the higher you go, the more these abilities will increase. So these are the powers of the astral body. Now, what are some of the psychic powers that OBEs can wake up? Not only precognition, there's clairvoyance, clairaudience, levitation, teleportation, superhuman strength, incombustibility. By this, I mean the ability to walk through fire. There's a whole lot of saints in the past who have had that ability, and there are some mediums as well. Spiritual mediums who have the ability of incombustibility. Healing, inedia. Inedia is the ability to live without food or water. And there are a number of very well-recorded cases of people who do have inedia. Insomnia, for that matter. So you don't need to sleep. And insomnia, while it's usually a bad thing, can also be very beneficial if you're able to do it without, you know, becoming tired and all of that. Bilocation, you can be in two places at once in the out-of-body state. There are people who are so good at going out-of-body that they can be awake in the physical world, walking around, talking to people, and go out-of-body and be traveling in another dimension where they're having these amazing adventures and talking with other people and doing all sorts of things. If you're really good at it, you can, you know, have multiple locations. But it's normally called bilocation. There's a lot of literature on this. I've not been able to get to this state myself. There's been a couple of times where I was aware of my physical surroundings while I was having a physical or an out-of-body experience. And I actually, on a few occasions, did open my eyes and was able to look around while I was still out-of-body. But I found it really disorienting and kind of scary, actually. I just wasn't quite ready to start walking around while I'm out of body. But I think as you get more comfortable with these higher advanced states, you'll get better at it. But immortality, there are, you know, it's possible not to have to die. This is, I've argued with a lot of people about this, but I wrote an article about this. And there are apparently a number of people on this planet who have overcome aging through a process of, you know, astral travel and becoming connected to the astral planes. You can actually rejuvenate your physical body and turn it into what's called a light body. So you don't have to die. According to Robert Monroe, who is the leader on out-of-body experiences, he believes that there are some 5,000 people who have achieved this state of immortality. So there are a number of people who have done this throughout the years. Robert Monroe is, of course, the most famous, but there's a good 20 or 30 people who have written books on advanced astral travel, which is really not a whole lot when you think about it. I mean, there's more books on how to play poker or how to do quilting. But this knowledge is available for anyone who's willing to look for it. So let's get to the actual process. How do you get out of body? It's three simple steps. Number one is physical relaxation. So you want to go through this whole sort of process where you relax all your muscle groups. You lay down in your bed. You can lay down in an armchair if you prefer, someplace where you won't be disturbed, where it's quiet, and you just totally relax. You might feel like waves of itching over your body. You might start twitching a little bit, but you want to really, really relax to the point where you start to feel certain sensations. You might feel a heaviness. You might feel a lightness. You might feel like a vertigo or a dizziness, a lightheadedness. You might feel movement. You might even feel kind of a paralysis sleeping over you or a numbness. These are all great signs that you're actually getting ready to go out of body. This means you're relaxed enough to do it. What you really want to get to is relaxed to the point where you start to feel vibrations. There's something called the vibratory state, and it feels like you're almost being electrocuted, but this is when your astral body is coming into coincidence with your physical body, and it starts to vibrate intensely. It can be a little scary the first few times, and you actually don't even have to feel these sensations once you get good at it. But the vibratory state is where you want to get to. And you'll know it when you're there because it'll feel like you stuck your finger in an electric socket. Robert Monroe described it as a mild electric shock. I thought for sure I was being electrocuted the first few times. So it's very, very powerful and can feel like a jet engine roaring through your body. So be aware of that. But that's what you want to do first of all. You just want to relax to the point where you start to feel heaviness, lightness, vibrations, or vertigo, or movement, or numbness, or paralysis. And then you're ready, at least physically. Now, the second step is to mentally relax. We all have this constant internal chatter that just doesn't stop. It goes on constantly. You want to quiet down the internal chatter, focus your awareness, focus your attention, and kind of gather up your desire, and just mentally relax. Because what happens is, this constant internal chatter will actually turn into a dream. It turns into images, and you will fall into the dream. So you want to relax to the point where your mental chatter starts to turn into images, starts to turn into dreams. But don't let it. Don't fall asleep. You want to get as close to the sleep state as you possibly can without falling asleep. You'll start at this point, you might hear all kinds of exit distractions, they're called. These can be noises, crashing sounds, voices, weird physical sensations, strong emotional feelings, but just don't pay any attention to them. And what you want to do is start doing the third step. And this is it. It's a very simple process. The third step is affirmations and visualizations. Affirmations are things you repeat to yourself, such as, I want to go out of body. I am out of body. I will go out of body. That's probably the best one. Another is, I will remember everything that happens to me at night. I want to have out-of-body experiences. Just focus on it mentally and affirm it to yourself, and that's a very powerful step. And the final part of the step is visualizations. And there's 1,000 visualizations you can do. You'll want to pick the one that works best for you. A lot of them involve feelings of movement. By that I mean, imagine yourself on a swing set or on the bow of a boat that's going up and down or going up an escalator or an elevator or anything really that gives you the sensation of movement. This will work beautifully to sort of pull you right out of your body. another that works really well for me is visualizing myself running, and this will pull you right out of your body instantly. Spinning around like Wonder Woman does, spinning in place, it's a beautiful way to get out of body. Any of these will work. You can imagine yourself jumping off a cliff. You can imagine yourself doing anything that causes movement, and that will work. Another very powerful method is just visualize yourself in a different location. Works beautifully. Just imagine yourself being in a location you know very well, and suddenly you will appear there. And pop, you'll feel a little popping sensation as you separate from your body, and you'll find yourself in the new environment. So that's another wonderful way to do this. Through the dream state is another really good way. Keeping a dream journal and becoming lucid in the dream state. And that will definitely help you a lot. Another is counting. If you will just count down, 1, I'm out of body. 2, I'm out of body. 3, I'm out of body. That sort of, I don't know why it works really, but it apparently distracts your logical mind enough where you sort of are able to just kind of slip into the dream state. So, once you, that's all there is to it. It's very simple. You'll pop right out if you do these visualizations, these affirmations, once you're relaxed enough. If it's not working for you, the chances are you're not relaxed enough. That's what I found to be the case with a lot of people. And that's all there is to it. And once you pop out, then you have a bunch of other obstacles and things to overcome. As I mentioned earlier, it can be very scary, but for a lot of people, it's not the fear so much as the excitement. It is so emotional, out of body. Again, the astral body is also called the emotional body, that you can become overwhelmed by various emotions and pop right back into your body. For me, I'd often become overcome by feelings of lust as well as hunger. You may have heard the term hungry ghosts. These are ghosts that are stuck on the physical plane because they're still attached to it. And if you go out of body, well, you'll know exactly what it's like to be a ghost, and you will definitely have to deal with some of these suppressions that you've suppressed. And Robert Monroe wrote a lot about it, as did a lot of the other out-of-body explorers. And I can tell you from first-hand experience that you should not underestimate the power of your emotions on the astral plane. So that's going to be something that's going to be difficult for you to maintain awareness of, because it can be overwhelming. Probably the best way to remain aware in the out-of-body state is to shout out commands, such as clarity. Clarity now. That works really well. Increase awareness. If you shout that out, this will bring awareness back to you. If you feel yourself falling unconscious out of body, try spinning around like Wonder Woman. It will take you right back into the astral state. A very, very good way is to keep a running commentary. Constantly tell yourself, I'm out of body, I'm out of body, I'm out of body. Because it's very easy to forget that you're out of body while you're out of body, and you just fall into a dream. But once you're out, you'll find your vision is different. You have to learn how to see. You'll have to learn how to move again. You'll have to use the power of thought to move. It's very funny because you'll be flapping your arms. You'll try to walk, and it just doesn't work. And there's really no way to describe how to do it other than by just going ahead and doing it. And, gosh, we've just got a few minutes left here, so I want to give you some experiments that you can do once you succeed at this. And believe me, if you do these exercises, you will succeed. So here are some of the experiments you can do. First, you can explore the physical world. Go visit your friend's house and prove to yourself that you're really out of body. You can go visit foreign countries. You can travel all across the world. You can visit other planets. You'll find, though, that it's very difficult to stay in the physical world while out of body, and you'll pop into the other dimensions. And this is where the real fun is. You can live out all kinds of fantasies. Anything you want to do, you can do it. You can recreate any experience. You can eat any food. You can have sex with any person that you desire. Probably the best benefit for me was visiting deceased loved ones. I was able to visit my mother who had died. I was able to learn about past lives. I was able to visit my spirit guides. I was able to visit my higher self. I was even able to visit the Akashic Library on a few occasions and learned a lot of stuff there that's just amazing. Healing experiences. If you say your name while you're out of body, something really amazing will happen. I don't want to tell you because I'll leave that as a sort of a surprise. But that's another thing that you can do that's just amazing. So that's basically it. That's my out-of-body workshop in a nutshell. And if I could leave you with any message about the out-of-body experience, it would be that it is easy. It is one of the easiest psychic skills to learn, and I strongly encourage everyone to just give it a try, even if it's just for a week or two. And you'll pop out of body, and you will have amazing experiences. Some of my absolute best experiences I've ever had have been in the out-of-body state. So I can't encourage you enough. It'll totally change your life for the better in many, many ways. So that's it, guys. That's the show tonight. I want to thank you all for listening. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and we've been talking about astral projection. Do it, guys. It's easy, it's very simple, and it's a lot of fun. Thank you all for listening. I hope you can join us next week when I'll be bringing on another guest besides myself, and we'll be exploring some other very interesting subjects about UFOs and the paranormal. If you've missed any portion of this episode, remember, all of these are archived on the BBS website, so you can find it there if you get a chance. All right, thanks for listening. Please join us next week. Until then, have a wonderful evening and a great week. Bye now.
Hi, this is producer and composer Nelson Ortega. If you're an independent artist looking for airplay, BBS Radio is the place for you.